What about the Captain Underpants movie?
I have watched that recently. It is quite good. Cool. I like that.
What about Men in Tights?
Oh, come on, you can't list how many underwear films can't you list? Because this is getting embarrassing.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
My favourite bit was when the guy was Jewish in it.
Yeah, he was Jewish in it. It was funny. He had a little guillotine for doing circumcisions. good stuff. Are there any other underwear movies you can think of?
No. You're in charge of this one, mate.
Oh, I am. Okay.
You know all the underwear movies.
I do. I know. I've got a list of them here. Yeah. Basic Instinct. That's sort of a non underwear.
That's the opposite of an underwear movie, mate. It's like the one film that doesn't have any.
I mean, the fact that we are acknowledging that there's none there means it is an underwear movie.
It is notable in that there is a lack of underwear. Yeah, I can't think of any others.
Dune.
Text you a bit, but you figure it.
Conan the Barbarian.
That guy was nothing but underwear. He was a hero to our generation.
Like early Superman movies?
Yeah, because they took off the underwear.
Later on.
Yeah.
Steel?
That was briefs.
Yeah.
The Pelican briefs.
There we go.
Brief Encounter.
All right, well, if we're going to use everything that just has the word that sounds a bit like underwear in, then we're going to be here for a while.
Risky business. He danced in his underwear.
I heard some serious shit about the cast of Power Rangers, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, earlier today.
What?
Like, so, Billy... the character, the Blue Ranger, that guy, was the only openly gay person on set, and he got bullied off set. he's like, "Why you fucking nerd? Why you so gay?" And he's like, "Well, no, that's not okay." And then they're all like, "Well, it's 1992, so you know."
That's right.
We don't care.
I love how that was an excuse. Like, I looked out if they used that as it's 1992, you're going to have to wait 20 more years until...
until that's considered an actual problem on set.
Yeah.
Only got room in this industry for big heterosexual actors like Kevin Spacey. You can fuck off.
And, like, the Yellow Ranger's dead now.
Yeah. What?
She died in a car accident.
One of them's in jail.
Yeah, for killing his
a putty,
killing his roommate with a what was it? A Conan the Barbarian themed sword.
See,
that's the thing. A friend of mine said it was amazing to see the Super Sentai reunion episode where everyone comes back.
Yeah.
One of the main things he said was that's not happening with Power Rangers. No,
no, not even slightly.
That ain't happening with the Power Rangers. No, sirree.
Fucking Mighty Morphin powered danger to humanity.
From Paul Anthony, we've got The Briefing.
Ooh.
Sounds like a spy thriller.
Piers Brosnan.
Yep.
Uncovers a conspiracy that requires him to strip into his underwear.
I've got it. He goes to a meeting at this big, big
spy place.
It's sort of like a big business. It's not important. It's just a big London building.
He's a business. He sells contracts.
Yeah, he does generic business things. right?
Sells contracts.
And he's got a big presentation, his suitcase, he's saying goodbye to his family, gets in the limo because he drives a limo there. he drives the limo. There's no one in the back. He just drives it there, gets out.
It's for those waiting times. He's got an Uber exec app, and it's just like for the waiting times between meetings. He goes out, drives someone somewhere in his limo, and then comes back.
He just owns a limo and drives around in it. You never
nightmare.
See that. Limos are only limos are like stretch taxis. Why does no one just drive them around?
I just like the idea. I just love the idea that Pierce Brosnan is late to everything because he can't park anywhere.
He really struggles to find a parking space that's long enough.
Man, everyone was beeping at me and I couldn't pull in anywhere. There just wasn't any space. He's in New York,
so. Doesn't matter. The limo is not important. I just love the idea of him driving a limo everywhere.
Just a nice bit of flavour.
Yeah, nice bit of character building, world building even. And so he gets to this, he's got his big presentation all done, and then he...
What's Piers Brosnan's character name?
Piers Brosman. And
Piers Brosman.
Piers Brosman. And he gets up. He's got this PowerPoint all set up. Rutger Hauer is the leader of this business, business, and he does his presentation where everyone in the boardroom starts laughing. And he looks down, and he's not packed any trousers.
Oh no!
And then he wakes up.
Oh shit!
And he's like, "Oh god, that was such a terrible dream."
I better get to my meeting.
Yeah, and he gets to the meeting, sets the PowerPoint up, looks down. He's still in his briefs.
Yeah,
and then he wakes up again.
Yep, and so every time he does this, he looks on his he gets up, and there's a quite an involved getting ready scene, so we can get the day to day, and we can see when that changes, right? Like in fucking Groundhog Day. Series of events happen. He's like, says goodbye to his family, looks wistfully at a photograph, and then gets out of the house, puts everything on, struggles to park. That bit, so there's like a guy, a valet who's like, hey, what are you doing with this? And then he just walks straight past him, like gives him the keys and goes into the building.
I was just imagining Pierce Brosnan in his underwear all throughout all of this.
So,
because there had to be a scene where he very specifically makes a note to put clothes on, and then he goes down to his wife and he asks, "Am I wearing a suit? Yeah. Am I wearing trousers right now? Yes. Okay, then."
And then he goes
to the valet who's trying to shout at him for trying to park his limo. He's like, "Yes, but am I wearing a suit right now? Yeah. Okay, then. Yeah, but what about? Okay, this is good." And then he goes into the building.
Gets like, into the lift.
In the lift, he has his clothes on, but then when he gets out of the lift, it's gone.
Yeah, yeah. And then so, like, he's like, what the hell is going on here? As he realizes his clothes are gone, wakes up again, right?
Yeah.
He's like, what the hell is going on here? So he instead of doing all the other stuff, right, wasting time with that, he steals a motorbike from his next door neighbor. Drives it as fast as he can all the way to the meeting, so he'll be there early, right? Dumps the bike, and then takes the stairs round to the access panel. And every time he's woken up, he's heard like one voice in his head laughing, and it's like, "You haven't got any trousers on."
I just thought one of the different times he wakes up, he bolts out the door, gets in his limo, goes straight there, and he ain't dressed at all, but he's just packed everything, and he goes into the boardroom meeting area,
yeah,
and dresses there, and he's like, okay, this time what's not going to happen?
PowerPoint on, trousers off.
Yeah,
gone again.
And he's like, oh, darn. And then he wakes up.
We never figure out what's doing it.
I think I was going to say he breaks into the access panel to the lift. And like, there's like a gremlin played by Sean Bean there. Who like, for some reason, was his long lost brother.
That's a lot to drop on Pierce Brosnan's back. At first he was just dealing with clowns, but now he's got Sean Bean as his brother.
It's me, Sean Brosnan.
I'm here to steal your trousers.
I never had
trousers. Just like you stole my trousers all those years ago, Pierce.
You've lived a life with trousers, Pierce, but I've had nothing.
The same lack of trousers you gave me, Pierce Brosnan.
I've got my golden eyes on you.
No, but it ends with Pierce being like, I understand now. I've been a terrible brother. Come.
I'm sorry. There's a flashback to him stealing his brother's trousers before he went to school. And like being a bully. And he hadn't realised that that was involved.
But then...
No, but he goes, come on, Sean. We're going to go out there together. And it has them walking into the boardroom meeting without any pants on.
Right, but then the boardroom meeting, the thing starts going on, right? And the presentation goes on, and they're fucking pitching. They've got like half an hour now, because he's found his brother, he's made up, and he was already early because he came here on the bike.
Yeah.
Like, you see them in that lift shaft, like, scribbling away at stuff, and they're working, and they both walk into the meeting side by side with no trousers on, and they're pitching fucking not wearing trousers.
But it ends with Rutger Hauer saying, like, I've worked in this industry for 60 years, and you've got gumption, kid.
Kids? Both of you?
You've inspired me to never wear trousers again.
And then everyone at the boardroom stands up and rips their trousers off.
Applauding.
And then throws them out the window. And then all of London starts taking their trousers off. And then it ends in a sort of flurry of trousers all across England.
While
Pierce Brosnan and Sean Bean jump in the air in a freeze frame. And then the credits.
What's playing? Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yep.
There you go. That's the just as you pan through like building after building, just trousers falling out of windows.
And they never explain why he keeps waking up every morning.
Then he wakes up again, like, and that's the end of the film.
And then that's the post credits where Sean Bean's like, "No, you're not going to repeat this time." The ending happened, and then it just ends.
So, from Dwadg or the Don't Worry About the Government podcast, we've got I Forgot to Put on Pants.
What, haven't we covered this one?
Yeah, it seems like it could easily be the tagline. To The Briefing, or like the sort of subtitle. Yeah. The Briefing, I Forgot to Put on Pants.
The Briefing 2, I Forgot to Put on Pants.
Again.
No, this time, no, because in the briefing, he forgot to put on trousers.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of the American thing.
But this would be a world where everyone just wears underwear now, but he forgot the pants.
In The Briefing 2.
Yeah, it's the American Briefing.
In The Briefing 2, it's just Pierce Brosnan stood with his dick out. But they do that Austin Powers thing where they sort of tastefully block it out using like different objects. The whole movie. It's one long shot like Birdman. Sometimes you're just like, can you see it? No.
No, you can't.
No, you can't. Ooh. I'm pretty sure you can't.
No.
But
no.
The best thing is that they always like they're very kind to Pierce Brosnan in the amount they cover it.
They get like a snooker cue
an elephant's trunk. Like,
does he go on a worldwide exhibition to look for his pants again?
He's traveling the world. Doing TED talks about how trousers aren't needed in the workplace anymore.
I must find my pants, but we can't wear trousers anymore. I must travel the world to find them again.
And so what's the twist at the end of this one? It's his sister that he bullied.
Played by Sean Bean.
Why does this feel like Curious George for no reason?
Yeah, that's a good question. Why?
Well, who's Will Ferrell going to be in this one?
Like, I guess it's just the fact that, like, he's causing commotion around him and not noticing. Like, he's not wearing pants. His dick's swinging around. And, like, he isn't noticing. And I think
knocking
that's a lot of that very
over.
Curious George.
From on Twitter, we've got at McNackus, and they've given us Journey to the Underwear.
Ooh.
Wear spelt with a H.
E. Underwear. Yeah,
underwear.
To be underwear.
Underwear.
Okay.
That's...
Journey to the Underwear. Right.
I reckon that should be about the invention of underwear. The famous mystic Aztec tribe that created underwear.
Oh, okay. Like a El Dorado, but for pants.
That is exactly what I'm thinking, yes.
So here's, okay, there's an epidemic of, like, moths, right?
Mm.
That have somehow got into an underwear, on people's underwear drawers, okay? Mm. So here's the thing. A batch of cotton was secretly moth larvae, okay, or eggs, I guess.
A whole batch.
Yeah. So a whole batch of cotton from wherever you get that from, secretly, or a new material that makes really soft underwear.
Mm.
I don't mind. Doesn't really matter. These moths hatch in people's underwear drawers, right? And all department stores and everything. And all the underwear is gone. Right? And two people have to make the journey to the fabled land where there are hordes and hordes of underwear.
Who are the two people, Adam?
Okay, let's have a little think.
Can I have Owen Wilson?
Owen Wilson?
Okay, Owen Wilson and...
Cher.
Okay, I like that. Owen Wilson, like, where? We gotta go. Get our underwear.
And Cher's like...
Auto-tune throughout the whole thing.
Do you believe in the magical land of underwear?
It's like, yeah, I do. I'm willing to go with you to the ends of the earth, Cher.
Wow. Come on, man. We gotta get over to the end of the earth. But
there is a problem. Mm. Vince Vaughn finds out about this, and he wants to become the king. No, he doesn't want to do that. He wants to become the head businessman who can sell all the underwear to the world.
Mm.
Yeah, well, so, it was his batch. Mm. That's the thing. It was his bad batch of moths.
He wants to capitalize on all the underwear. So he's
his plan was to ruin everyone's underwear so that he could then go and get this underwear. He didn't get the underwear from El Dorado of Pants first. No. He decided that definitely exists. I'm going to get there eventually, but first I will ruin everyone's underwear so there's a need for this underwear, this special
underwear. And I can capitalize.
Underwear.
I can capitalize. Would I'd be create like, a monopoly.
Yeah, surely his plan would be, he's got a lot of underwear factories. His plan would be to just release some moths. He like, okay, so we don't know this at this point in the film, but he snuck those moths into another company's underwear, right? Like corporate espionage.
Mm.
So he was trying to ruin that. He was trying to ruin his competitor whilst becoming the de facto leader for underwear sales, right? With his company. in the meantime, he's sponsoring this expedition of Owen Wilson and Cher. Right? So he's like, I'm going with you too.
And Owen Wilson's like, well, that sounds okay. Where? And then, yeah, as in, Cher's like, I'm not sure I trust him. And Owen Wilson's like, you gotta learn. I like him. We gotta let him go. Wham!
So they're traveling through the jungle to this place.
We need to name this place. I'm sorry, we do. I've been trying to think of something that sounds like El Dorado.
The El Dorado of Pants. That's what we're calling it. That's what it's called. That's what the city's, the ancient lost city.
It's not like El Pantorado or like El Pantado.
No, the El Dorado of Pants.
Okay, it's just called the El Dorado of Pants. Yeah. Okay. No, I understand. That's fine. I'm on board.
All the pyramids and stuff are like upside down briefs. Just
come on, Cher. We gotta get to the El Dorado of Pants, man.
Get pants.
I gotta get to the. Come on. I'm just trying to get by here. We gotta make sure that Mr.
Business of Man of Pants.
It's Pants Champ. He's called Mr. Pants Champ.
Mr. Pants Champ.
Mr. Pants Champ's given us a great opportunity here. And Cher's like, I don't believe in Mr. Pants Champ.
And Vince Vaughn's like, how can you not trust me? I just want to make sure everyone has pants.
Why does he have the weird...
I don't know.
States accent.
I don't know. I decided he wears a cowboy hat throughout the whole thing. Like, he's that sort of businessman.
I just want to make sure everybody has pants.
I think that everyone needs a pants.
We gotta go to the El Dorado of Pants to find the best pants that won't get moth eaten.
These are the
silkiest of pants.
The place is called Underwear, right? That's the name of the film. The place they're going is not called the El Dorado of Pants. It's called Underwear.
It is in this movie.
We're going to the underwear. The underwear. I do declare, where is the underwear?
Cher is playing a. We need to push this plot onwards. Cher is. Anthropologist of this ancient civilization. She's very scientific about it. She's all sort of she doesn't like it. Get out in the field that much. She likes to be in libraries.
Researching about the Aztecs.
She's like underwear is not real. She says, it's a legend cooked up by pants manufacturers.
as Mr.
And then they're climbing over these mountains in Peru, and they're like at the top, and they're like, oh, almost like, oh man, it's so hot. And Cher's like, I don't like it. He says, why don't you like it, Cher? She says, it's too fucking sunny.
It's like, don't talk to me about fucking sunny. Wow.
I appreciated that one.
But sorry.
I think they get to a place on the map that's marked as the El Dorado of Pants, and it's just a giant moth.
Yeah.
Giant.
What?
There's a giant moth.
Well, you know, moths make silk, right?
Yeah.
So
making silk pants.
Yeah. Yeah, a moth that shits silk pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the moth is played by Liam Neeson. It's got his face on the front.
Aww.
But like Vince Vaughn's about to shoot them both because it's like, oh yeah, I brought you here to get me to this moth palace, and
then I would capture the giant moth and take it back to my factory.
And then that's when the moth wakes up and its wings smush Vince Vaughn.
Oh, no, no, no. It's not the wings, mate. It's not the fucking wings.
Why isn't it
you
the wings?
You know it shits pants at him.
All right, he gets buried in pants. And then...
Plus, and also, they have very newly formed pants, so they are quite sticky and suffocating. Hmm.
Oh, no, okay, so this moth, it obviously, as we know, eats a material and then shits out pants, right? Hmm. So,
yes,
he's about to shoot them, and then the plucky sidekick we haven't mentioned yet, played by Millie Bobby Brown... jumped over with a giant pair of pants that Vince Vaughn had in his backpack all along because he was going to try and take pictures with it when he got there. Shoves it over the head of Vince Vaughn, and the moth, just played by Liam Neeson, goes, "Oh, that looks like a very tasty pair of underwear. I'll eat it myself." And then it's like, "Hom," and he just eats Vince Vaughn, and shits out a pair of underwear. That then, comes out all silky and bloodstained.
And then can the underwear have like Vince Vaughn's screaming face sort of imprinted on it?
The next 60 pairs of underwear that come out have Vince Vaughn's screaming face.
and then Wes is like, "We just saved the world." Yeah.
And then Liam Neeson is like, "Get on my back, and I'll take you back to where you belong." And then they fly off into the sunset.
I have a very specific set of wings.
And the little sister's like, "Gee, Willikers, mister." Yeah! And that's the first time she speaks in the whole thing.
She's mute up until that point.
Yeah, but because we know she's a plucky sidekick, right? The reason she's a plucky sidekick is she does a little kind of prospector dance all over the place. You know, she's doing a little jig.
The character name is Muty Bobby Brown.
Anyway, next one.
Yeah, let's move on. From My Waste of Talent, we've got Breaching Charges.
Breaching Charges.
Yes.
Like breaches.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I like this one because it means that... Right, breaching charges, right? So we need to encompass, right? Breaches, which haven't been a thing since, like, I don't know, World War, Victorian era sort of area. Charges, which means our main character is probably a lawyer. And explosions, because they're breaching charges.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, here's my plan, right?
You're welcome to this one.
Go for it, Matt.
Andy Serkis is a Victorian lawyer.
That's not how you pronounce his name.
Serkis.
Serkis. He's Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
As in, like,
that's his character's name.
Yeah, Andy Serkis.
I'm Andy Serkis.
It's Lord Andrew Serkis. He actually invented circuses. That's why he got made a lord.
Okay.
So, Lord Andrew Serkis is a lawyer in Victorian England. Okay, and the thing is, his client is a known criminal. Like, he's a known burglar and robber, okay?
Yeah.
Potentially even a cat burglar. Like, he's stolen loads of diamonds, loads of really, sort of high-profile pieces of art, that sort of thing. Played by...
John Malkovich.
John Malkovich. Nice.
Yes.
And John Malkovich is like, "I'm being sent down. I'm being set up for this. I didn't do this." One. And the charges leveled at him are like stealing a pair of I can't do jewel encrusted fucking britches anymore. We already done that one. Stealing
the Queen's britches.
No, like stealing like a jewel, right? Like a very, very valuable jewel. In fact, stealing some of the crown jewels. And the reason he was sort of pinned down was he wears very characteristic kinds of breeches, right?
Okay.
And they were left at the scene of the crime as the window was broken that he scarpered out of, and a scrap of these breeches were left at the scene of the crime, right?
And that's what pins the crime to him, like his amazing breeches.
Yes.
Okay.
It seems like he is being set up, but they have to find out who by breaking into somewhere else. So there's a heist going on while they're in court.
While they're in court,
they're trying to break into the evidence like locker in this courtroom, by exploding a wall.
Andy Serkis is going to need an assistant on this one.
The
man has many talents, but he cannot defend his client and also break into an evidence case all at the same time.
Yeah, so he does have assistance, because both John Malkovich as a cat burglar does have the assistance of Elijah Wood, right?
Yeah, as you do. I think Andy Serkis, who can he have as his, like...
Cate Blanchett.
Okay, yeah.
Basically, Elijah Wood, who's only a trainee cat burglar, and Cate Blanchett, who's only a trainee barrister, has to, like... they have to try and break into this thing, but it all starts going wrong, and then they have to cause a recess in the courtroom. So they have to like finagle something, and like Andy Serkis doesn't know how to do it, but John Malkovich like steals using his sleight of hand, steals the whole evidence sheet. Steals some important document from the prosecution's table, so that they can't find it, and they're like, "Oh my god, we've lost all our evidence. We're gonna have to." Danny DeVito is the prosecution. I lost all my evidence, and I'm gonna have to go take a recess, Your Honor. At which case, who's the judge?
Brian Blessed.
Yep.
Oh, bang, bang on the with a hammer on the thing. Bang, bang, bang. I'm loud and a judge, and also a recess is called.
This is the best court case I've ever been to.
Says one of the audience. And
I'm going to need your help.
Just cuts to you, Adam, in the audience. Go, this is the best court case I've ever been to.
I'll have a mustache and a top hat, and it will be the best day of my life.
So I'm going to need some help finishing this one, guys. Who are the conspirators?
Danny DeVito.
It is.
Danny DeVito's plan was to frame him, but the moment that he lost the evidence list, he couldn't remember what he stole before.
Breaching charges. Nice. Hello, just want to say thank you for listening to the Life's a Pitch deleted scenes.
We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, maybe consider sharing it with your friends on social media, by word of mouth, anywhere really. Maybe put it onto a thumb drive and just throw it at someone. And maybe even reviewing it on wherever you got it. If you find it somewhere on iTunes or Acast or wherever, maybe review it there. 5 stars, thumbs up, give everyone the heads up.
Like I said before, thank you. Cheers.
Right.
Bye.